The following is a special presentation of the Spectrum 23.9.
And here's another special edition broadcast of Amplifying Voices with Will the Thrill. Thank you so much for coming back, as a guest.
Yeah, thank you. It's great to be here again.
So how was your last week?
It was pretty nice. It's great to be on this talk show. And one of the biggest things that I've been hearing about is how much I've been praised by a lot of my family members, my friends, friends of my family members. And they said that me kind of just speaking out for people on this radio show really is a great thing for them.
We're going to take less commercial breaks with music, and we're going to focus mainly on Will. We're going to make this as crammed of a show as you might see. So I just want to get out of the way. We want to thank our partners, Sweetwater and Partners in Autism, for being great sponsors of the Spectrum 23.9. With that being said, if you have any questions for Will at any time, you can give us a call at 260-710-8925. That once again is 260-710-8925. So, summarize karate for us, Will, for those who may not know. Summarize karate.
So karate is an art that goes back like thousands of years ago, and it's a type of art where you learn how to defend yourself from a threat, whether that's somebody trying to strangle you on the street, trying to steal your purse away, or just a lot of different situations you can find yourself in on the streets, and how you escape those situations. That's the main thing martial arts has always been about.
And how do you feel like... So let's kind of wrap around karate again. How do you feel like that... Or what do you think... Do you think there's an autism connection? Like, does it release stress?
Yeah, I can definitely say in a way that it can relieve stress. And even then, sometimes karate itself maybe can cause stress, because if you're being attacked on the streets, you will get stressed and all that. But it's how you'll manage that stress is what will help you determine how you get away from the situation. Because if you freeze in place from the stress, you're likely going to get hurt. By learning karate, you're better able to handle that stress. And if not, you could use that stress to your advantage to become basically more lethal against your opponent if you have to try to get away from them. Because if they're going to do harm to you, you have to do harm to them if you expect to get away.
Exactly, exactly. And hopefully, you know, in Fort Wayne, you know, you like... Hopefully in Fort Wayne, you know, it's a pretty safe city here. Hopefully you don't have to use karate too much on the streets of Fort Wayne, only for like obviously recreational purposes. But, you know, that being said, you know, like if the time ever came, you know, that you need to like defend yourself, you know, that really truly is important. So tomorrow morning, and I'm going to go and promote this out in the open. You have a karate tournament, right?
Yes, I do. I mainly compete for the TKA, or Tournament Karate Association. Basically, it's a karate organization that brings in different schools from all over Indiana, from places like Kokomo, Marion, Muncie, Parker City, all the way to Indianapolis. And we get together at one location to compete. And this is one of two tournaments this year that are taking place here in Fort Wayne under my dojo's name, Premier Martial Arts.
That's awesome. Where will it be Well, where will the tournament be tomorrow morning?
It takes place at Eel River Elementary School on Bethel Road.
Which I believe, for those of you who may not know Fort Wayne too well, that is in the Carroll High School area. You know, and you yourself are a Carroll High School grad, aren't you?
Yes, I have gone to Carroll High School.
You know, I just thought of this question. So don't worry, folks, we'll get back into karate. But nonetheless, with Amplifying Voices, this is a important question. For those of you who might be looking at schools in the Fort Wayne area, so I don't mind, so hopefully you don't mind me being put on the spot. Carroll was one of two high schools that I was looking at when I was in high school for special education. Now, obviously, back in the early 2000s, things might have been different. I chose to go with Homestead. How would you grade your Carroll High School experience?
I think overall it was pretty decent. I mean, I wasn't exactly the person with the best grades in school, but overall, one of the things I did like about Carroll was being around all of my friends, like being at in lunch class. I always went to football games with them, but I guess overall, one of the coolest things that I did do there that can relate to what you said about special education is I was a part of a group called Connections Club, which is in a way sort of like a social group where we plan events. So I thought that was pretty great to mention.
Oh yeah. Shout out to the, to that club, at Carroll. Did you, were you just like a member or were you, did you help host and facilitate from time to time?
Mainly a member when I was there.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's good. All right. So shifting back to karate, cause obviously, you know, I already mentioned, you know, on the last podcast, what some of your hobbies were. And if you missed any of last week's episode, it's been podcasted on thespectrum239.com. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts and Audioboom. But you said karate, you know, and that was the that's the main topic of tonight, obviously. So what happens? What kind of events happen during the tournament?
There are four main events that take place at specifically TKA tournaments. There's open hand kata, there's weapons kata, there's kumite and chambara. Basically, weapons kata and open hand kata is basically forms in a way where you do certain movements and you put them all together as kind of like a show for people to see, kind of like when figure skaters are skating on the ice and they do these crazy sort of dance moves and stuff like that. It's kind of similar to that. Now, I will admit it is kind of difficult to explain it, like, to every detail unless you actually, like, go there to see what it looks like for yourself. And then the third event, which is kumite, which is Japanese for sparring. That's basically when you go into the ring with one other person and you fight them. Now, the difference between the kumite we do at tournaments then compared to fights you see like at the MMA is when we're in the ring at kumite, we wear these headgear, hand gear, and foot pads. And our goal is simply to be the first person to strike our opponent first. And whoever has 5 hits by the end of 2 minutes, or whoever has the most points by 2 minutes when the time runs out, then they win. Now, if there's a sudden death, say maybe the opponents were 4-4, 3-3, or 2-2, whatever the circumstances are, they do a sudden death where basically the next person that gets the hit will win. And depending on how many competitors they're there, they'll use like certain like systems on how they match up every competitor. Like, we do have weight divisions, like the lightweight and the heavyweight division. I primarily train or compete with the lightweight division, which is 169 pounds and under.
Oh, now, wow.
Now, the last competition is Chambara, which is very similar to Kumite, except you use swords, which are mainly foam swords. And it's the same rules where you have to be the first person to strike the other person, and whoever gets 5 points first, or whoever has the most points by 2 minutes, or if there's a sudden death. And it's really just a matter of how many wins you can get that can determine what your placing will be at the end.
Okay. So what are the differences between all the movements in karate?
By movements, like, could you give a little more description?
I suppose the best way to, I guess, ask this is, like, in martial arts, like, what are some of the movements that you would take to defend yourself?
There are a lot of different movements that you use to defend yourself, but our primary one is the guarding stance, where basically you have one foot in front of you, one leg behind you. That's so that you have a stable foundation and you won't be pushed over so easily. And you also have two hands up, and whichever leg is in the front, that same arm will be in the front, and whichever leg is in the back, that arm will be in the back.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I definitely think that that answered, that definitely answered my question. Sorry. And you know, like my mind is kind of going haywire or not haywire, but like, you know, like hashtag autism. That's all I got to say. So kind of speaking on the tournament, what are you, I guess, how do I want to phrase this? What are your strengths and weaknesses during a tournament?
Generally, I don't ever want to think about my strengths and weaknesses, but
yeah,
because I kind of just don't want to give too much info to my opponents have them get an edge on me. But one of the things that I admit are my strong points at tournaments are my quick adaptations. So like, for example, if I'm in Kumite and my opponent is using sort of a similar kind of offense, I can usually catch on to that pretty quickly. And then at katas, I'm usually pretty explosive in a way and very intense with how I do my movements, basically making sure I keep attention on what I'm doing and make sure the attention is on me. And I guess really the only real weaknesses I have is really being not as much of the aggressive type, because there are a lot of people that will go in like guns blazing, trying to plow you over with a bunch of punches. I'm one of those guys that kind of prefer, kind of like if you're an outboxer in a way, like Muhammad Ali, where he always used the style of staying outside of opponents' reach and take advantage of miss attacks. So usually I'm more of the guy that prefers to wait for them to come to me and I get them before they get me. But I will say I have gotten better at sort of being more offensive, like understanding when I can charge in, because especially in the karate division, in my division, which is black belt, in the black belt division, one split second decision can make a difference in a fight.
Okay. Well, thank you, for your answer. You know, I realize that, you know, that's a lot of, you know, that's a question that most people would ask, obviously, in the job interview. I really think that you summarized it up really, really well. Okay, all right, I think we're ready for a quick commercial break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a minute, okay, folks? And then we're going to talk about Will's experience in karate.
Your new home for the greatest hits of all time. The Spectrum 23.9.
Nothing beats the feeling of pride that comes with earning a paycheck. But sometimes it can be difficult to find the right job. That's where Easter Seals Arc can help. Easter Seals Arc of Northeast Indiana provides a wide range of services for individuals on the autism spectrum or facing other challenges. For more information on Easter Seals Arc's employment services, visit our website at EasterSealsNEI.org. That's EasterSealsNEI.org to learn how Easter Seals Arc can help you achieve your employment goals.
The following is a special presentation of the Spectrum 23.9.
All right, folks, welcome back to Spectrum 23.9. This is Amplifying Voices. Thank you also to Easter Seals Arc for supporting us in that. So, Will, next question. What is your experience in karate?
Well, I started karate when I believe I was 8 years old, and I first started at a dojo called Blue Dragon Karate, and I spent there training for about 4 or 5 years, and that was where I got my black belt initially. But for certain reasons that I don't know, the place went out of business. And so pretty much 2 years after it went out of business, when I was 15 years old, that's when I got into Premier Martial Arts. And that's kind of where I started over with my training. The only difference between those two dojos was, because I was younger at the first dojo, I was kind of taking it a lot easier on myself. And maybe it was just that tournament style. But the way Premier does it is they don't really take it easy with if people aren't willing to put in the work. Because when you're at Premier Martial Arts, what we always expect from the students is them to work hard and be committed to why they're being taught to do martial arts. Because if they work hard, then that's what makes us happy.
Exactly. So now, also, in the first podcast, we also mentioned too, that technically you have two jobs, and one of which is that, you work part-time for the dojo, right?
Yes, I work as a instructor. The main two dojos that I teach at are the Premier Martial Arts on Coldwater Road, that is right by the BMV. And then the second dojo, which I've been teaching more at frequently, is the one that is on Illinois Road, which, fun fact, it's actually close to the shopping center area that is close to John's neighborhood.
Yes. Fun fact, obviously I went to Homestead, so Scott Road / Cumminton Road, that's been on my stomping grounds for now, what, it's 2024. So yeah, 24 years. I've bounced around between Fort Wayne and Columbia City and Crown Point, which is up near Deep River Water Park, which that's always a fun place to go. So I wanted to ask you a question, but I reworded it. Do you have any dreams in where your future goes with karate?
The main things I believe that my future lies with karate is kind of being an instructor, but also being a positive example as an instructor, because I know there are many instructors that could be either too soft and the children don't really take the training seriously, and then there may be some teachers that are more strict and maybe, in the worst case scenario, harsh, and maybe that could discourage the kids from training. I want to kind of sort of find a middle ground where I can be positive with the kids and encourage them when they're doing good, but also make sure to tell them, like, I don't accept people that aren't willing to put in the work, so if you want to make me happy, you have to work hard, and yeah, I'll be happy for you.
Yeah. And fun fact about Will, you will know he's happy when he gives you, like, the two thumbs up. You know, like, you know, if you don't get the two thumbs up, you know, then you definitely know that it's, that you're in a situation that you need to, you know, either change your mood or, you know, like, or just do, like, what Will says. So, except for your parents, because you need to listen to your parents, yeah, regardless if you're happy or not. Love you, Mom and Dad. But yeah. And again, we're just having a blast, here. So again, shouting out, EEO, River Elementary School, where you'll be, where your tournament is. Do you have an estimate of when your team goes? Well, actually, here's a good question. Are you performing, or I hate using that word, but are you doing your martial arts solo or as a group?
In a way, sort of solo, but I am competing against a certain group, and that is I compete in the 18 to 34 lightweight black belt group, yeah, which there can be multiple members in that group, but it's usually always me against them. So if that answers your question, that would be how it works.
It definitely does. I want to go ahead and promote this because it's tomorrow morning. If you are listening on the podcast, it's already passed because this is a live show on April 19th, 2024. And this will probably be put up on the 20th, at some point. So, but doors open at 8:30, correct?
Yes.
Was it 8:30 or no? Is it 9:30 or 10?
Technically, the doors open at 8, but then there's a black belt meeting which I will have to attend. Basically, we're just gonna hear over the rules, what to expect, on how to judge all the other ranks, because me being as a black belt, there will likely be the possibility that I'll be asked to help judge other rings that other groups may be competing in, yes, after I do my competitions first with my groups.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. So yeah, I pulled up the official Midwest Karate Challenge flyer. It is Saturday, April 20th, 2024. The location is EEL River Elementary. It's on Bethel Road. It's in the Carroll High School area. You'll see kata, kumine, weapons, shambara, and sure, Will's just like smiling, and I'm sure I completely just ruined that. Those words, but yeah, 9:30, as you mentioned, is the black belt meeting. I believe that, is not open to the public. So at 10 a.m. is when the competition begins. So start showing up at 8 a.m. There's and then only $5 for spectators 5 and up. Yeah. So I guess if you're a baby or someone under four years old, you get in for free. I can certainly know a few adults that could probably, get in for free because they just, mentally they're under 5 years old. But anyways, we're not going to get into that. But anyway, yeah. So. Is this the first of two karate events that you'll be competing in?
This is the first of two tournaments that take place here in Fort Wayne. I have been to two other tournaments this year. One was in Parker City, and then the other one took place southeast of Indianapolis. And that tournament, me and my dad actually went down there together.
That's awesome. 6:30 now. How about we take one music break, and we'll be back with another segment. Again, keep on listening.
The following is a special presentation of the Spectrum 23.9.
All right, and we're back to Amplifying Voices right here on Spectrum 23.9, where tonight's guest is, as you probably expected it, Will the Thrill. And tonight's focus area is going to be about karate. So obviously we've kind of already mentioned, I actually have the flyer up too. So I just want to kind of reiterate what you might have missed in the past, in the last 40 minutes that we've been on. So karate is one of Will's, favorite hobbies. And he definitely, not only does it recreationally, but he also does it as work. He's a instructor, at Premier Martial Arts, or part of Premier Martial Arts. He'll be competing at a Midwest Karate Challenge, which actually looks like, so is it just Indiana that's a part of this?
The main parts that the TKA organization is a part of at these karate tournaments mainly take place in Indiana, but there is an international tournament for pretty much like the best competitors in the TKA, and they compete in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. But it's a once-a-year tournament, which probably won't do that anytime soon, as I'm still getting used to the main systems here in Indiana.
Yeah, that makes sense. I would definitely say, dream big. How long have you been competing, in this system?
So I first started my competitions about somewhere around a year ago, back in February, and I went on for about 6 or 7 months of different competitions, but in around October, I did talk about how I was dealing with depression. And basically, I stepped away from tournaments to focus on my physical and mental health. And once that was completed, which I am still working on that stuff today, and it is going a lot better, that I decided I was ready to get back into martial arts. So it was in February that I got back into my karate tournaments, and it's going pretty good so far.
Well, that's great to hear, Will. I'm really proud, of you, and I'm sure our listeners are proud of you, and your family is very proud of you, as well. So, kind of at or so like a part of your martial arts, you know, the, you know, where you work, how do you train, or well, actually, what do you train your students on and how?
The main things we mostly train them on is understanding when it's okay to get into self-defense, when it's okay to fight back, if you have to fight back, if you have the chance to run away, then you're more than welcome to get away, because I know a lot of people will say, like, oh, but running away is a coward thing to do, but, like, in the real world, that's not at all the case, because, in fact, running can be, like, the best way to get away from a bad situation and save yourself from it, because at the end of the day, as long as you're okay and you got out of the bad situation, then that's all that matters.
Yeah, that truly is all that matters. What do you expect from your students?
The main things I specifically expect from my students is that they're always taking class seriously. They're always willing to put in the work towards their training, because when they're at the dojo, we always expect that they're doing their lessons seriously. They're not just spacing out or goofing off or anything like that.
Yeah.
Because if it does happen to go a little too far, then at the very worst, we'll just, like, sit them out, and they'll just be, like, sitting at the chairs with their parents, and they'll just have to wait out for a little bit. But usually I'm not the one in charge of, like, sitting anybody out. Usually the main instructors work on that.
Yeah. And does that usually work? Does that usually work?
Usually, I mean, it's kind of rare that there are any kids that are kind of that unmanageable, I guess is what I can say. I don't want to sound rude about that. There are many kids that just have certain, like, focus problems. I mean, when you are young, it is kind of more difficult to focus on something. Like, if a teacher is teaching you a math problem, you might, like, go into a daze or space out. And if you maybe have, like, ADHD or anything like that, it could make it a lot worse. But all we really expect is that they're willing to listen and willing to learn, because as long as they're willing to put in the work, then it might be a little bit okay if they're not trying to, like, burn themselves out, because we do make sure to take care of their health as well. Basically, making sure they push themselves, but make sure they don't push themselves overboard.
Yeah. Because, I mean, health and wellness definitely, you know, is important. And, you know, kind of a fun fact, you know, so there was a time during marching band, you know, when I kind of lost my focus. It was like a night practice. And for whatever reason, I was just, you know, just staring off into space. And my band director stopped the performance, you know, just to, you know, like, just to ask me, is there something wrong with my car, John? You know, because I was looking out into the parking lot, you know, so that was the joke, is that. But yeah, it's important not to lose your focus. How do you reward your students?
The main things we always usually do, especially in the classes, we always make sure to, like, praise them and say they did a good job, and maybe we might have them play, like, a game or something that involves, like, physical activity. Like, for example, we might play dodgeball or samurai run, which is basically where you have four targets and two hallways. You have one group of kids on one side of the hallway, then the other. Then one person from each side has to run to a target on the opposite side. Then they come into the middle where they have to grab a foam noodle, and they basically just hit whack each other, be the first one to whack each other within 3 seconds. And then the next people come up and we just do that over and over. So it's definitely, I guess, in a way, a type of cardio that we like to do, which is pretty fun.
Yeah. And full disclosure, I really wish that they made dodgeball a recreational sport, because I would have rocked that. You know, I was always the last one out. Like, mm-hmm. you know, if not the winner of the game. So, yeah. So full disclosure. Now you were mentioning kind of, you know, off air that the group does a special, parents night, like a special, like group only night with parents and members of the karate, community. So like talk kind of a little bit about what that's about.
So basically, we have these sort of parents' nights out, which, fun fact, there is actually one that's happening today. Basically, it's about a Fortnite Nerf. Basically, people bring in Nerf guns and all that for certain games, and it would be Fortnite-themed. And basically, we just play certain games. At some point, we would get Pizza Hut for them, because our premier martial arts dojos are pretty much like next door to like Pizza Hut. So it's pretty easy to get pizza from there for the kids. And then we would often watch a movie. Like, I remember the last parents' night out I went to, we watched the Super Mario Brothers movie, which was pretty nice.
It's me, Luigi. So what is your favorite, it's just random question, what is your favorite Mario brother?
Probably Mario, because I don't know too much about all the other characters besides him.
Yeah, I would probably definitely like agree, I would probably definitely like agree with that. All right, so we're going to, let me find...
We can take a little music break and just discuss more.
The following is a special presentation of the Spectrum 23.9.
Random people. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Amplifying Voices tonight, where we are talking to Will the Thrill. So, and I'm actually glad that you asked this question, or that you came up with this question, Will. I really am glad that you came up with this question, because this, I think I probably would have asked this question, like, you know, in place of like the, like your strengths and the strengths and weaknesses. So share the do's and don'ts of karate.
Well, we always do bring up this thing in karate that are three forms of actions that a human being can take, and that's fight, flight, or freeze. Now, fight is the one where you would fight, the flee is where you'd run away, and freeze is where you freeze in place. Now, the one you never want to do in a self-defense situation is freeze, because if you freeze up, you're likely going to get punched in the face. So it's either you have to fight them to get away, or you just flee from them to get away.
Yeah, and we don't want that. We don't want that. All right, so... So why did you start with karate?
Well, I guess at the time when I joined it, I never really remembered what my specific reason was. I mean, I did watch like a lot of really cool movies that had martial arts. Like, I was a big fan of like Kung Fu Panda when I was younger. And I guess when I first joined it, when I was like 8 years old, it was just kind of a thing where I found it to be kind of fun, and I stuck with it for a while. But when I joined Premier Martial Arts, I started kind of taking like the idea of why I'm doing karate more seriously. And one of the big things I noticed being there was I definitely became a lot more mature, a lot more self-disciplined. I'm definitely way better of a listener than I used to be. I'm always focused on what's happening in front of me. And just overall, it's just karate has just kind of made me a better person overall, both physically and mentally.
Well, that's awesome. That's awesome. All right. Why did you stick with karate?
Well, mainly because, like, as I mentioned, it was a good thing for me, but I feel like one of the biggest reasons now why I choose to stay with it is because it's been kind of the thing that I've sort of grown half of my life around. It's just kind of a thing I was somewhat born to do, I guess. Like, we all have certain talents in our life that we just want to stick with for the rest of our lives because we're just good at doing it. Like, maybe you've been born to be good at football, at basketball, or soccer, like many different things. For me, karate just happened to be somewhat of like a natural gift of mine to enjoy. And nowadays, I like to sort of give back to the community of karate, like how they've done to me, where I used to be the student and I used to be taught. Now I kind of want to be the teacher and teach students so that they can grow up to be as great as me or even better than me.
Yeah. Well, I definitely think that would be a very, very hard task, Will. You're definitely, like a one in a million person. All right. And you know what, Will? We made this a jam-packed show. You should be proud. So Will now gets to ask me what, karate type trivia questions. So, and I'm not going to use Google. I'm just going to, yeah. So I guess start it off, Will. Let's go for it.
All right. So I guess one of the first questions I'll ask is, whenever you're in a self-defense situation, say if you're in a school and some bully comes up to you and pushes you against a locker by your shoulders and keeps you pinned there, what would you do to get out of that situation?
I would probably definitely try to, because assuming that the bully has been in a headlock, I would probably, try to, I'm going to tell you what I would do, and then I want you to tell me if I was right. So I would probably attempt to, get out of his grip somehow, because assuming it's a locker, I'm assuming I can just slide down the locker. If that doesn't work, then I would probably go for his family jewels. Mm-hmm. what is the right response, Will?
Really, there is no right or wrong when it comes to how you get out of a self-defense situation. But if you are, say, pinned against a wall by your back, and they happen to be in front of you, and they're kind of just pushing against you, and you can't really slip away. If you can slip away, that's okay. But if you can't, one of the things you can do is use weakening techniques, whether that's punching them in the face, punching them in the stomach, and the one that would be the most effective that you mentioned is kicking them in the groin. Because we do actually have a specific kick that actually does aim for the groin, which is the low front kick. So you can definitely use that, and they would likely be in pain, and they'll let go of you, and you can take that moment to get away.
Yeah. That's definitely the moment that I would definitely use. That's what, self-defense kind of, experts, suggest, is that try to get out if you can. If you can't, go for a weak spot. All right. I'm one for one. Go for number two.
All right. So the second question is, second question is, if you're on the street and a mugger comes up to you and he demands, like, say, maybe $100 from you, what would you do?
Well, I'm going to first tell him, I don't have $100 cash on me. So, you know, so I'm sorry, bud. But I would, but I would probably, A, not run away. B, I would, I would definitely, again, go for one of the weaker spots. I wish I could be like James Bond and grab the, assuming he has a gun or a knife, grab the knife or gun from him and turn it on him. But I'll probably mainly go for probably like a weaker spot.
Well, my response would be is usually when we're at karate, we never promote fighting somebody if they have a weapon on them, because if they're just barehanded, then you will have more likely of a chance to get away if they do decide to engage you, because you have to remember the only time it's ever okay to engage someone is if they engage you first, because that's what self-defense is all about. It's being protective of yourself. So if somebody's trying to threaten you physically and they get in your personal space, then yeah, you can strike away at them. But if they do have a weapon, usually it's best not to engage them. Now, if you can have the opportunity to run away to somewhere that's densely populated where they're not going to likely take the risk of trying to go after you because there's so much witnesses around that they'll be able to see what's going on. But if you are kind of just stuck in a situation like that and you don't really have much else to go, just try your best to sort of comply with them and try to cause as least of a confrontation as possible, unless it's like the absolute like only decision to try to like confront them, which we don't usually promote that at Premiere.
Okay. Yeah. You know, which that makes sense. And, and honestly, my full-time job tells us if you're ever in a situation like that, you know, just give them packages, you know, just give them the van if that's what they want. Do as much as you can to protect yourself, like lock the car and just be aware of your surroundings. So, all right. So do you have one last question for me or do you have two more?
I can come up with another one or two, but I think the third one that I have in mind is if you're at a bar and you see somebody that's like high or drunk and they're like being like annoying to, say, if you had like a girlfriend with you and they're trying to like hit on her or stuff like that, and you like find that uncomfortable, how would you solve the situation?
I would kindly, just kind of break it to the drunk or the high person, that I am taken, that she's mine. I guess I shouldn't say she's mine, but you know, because that just sounds, you know, like controlling and that you own someone, which is not, I don't condone that. But basically the point I'm trying to make is that I would just, say, hey, we're trying to have a nice night. Can you please leave us alone? Now, if they exceed, then obviously not using violent force, I would just, I would definitely get us like, out of the, out of the, out of the area, or just like leave.
So I guess in my opinion, I will say you're kind of in a way correct about what you said. Usually if they are like maybe some guy that's drunk or high or whatever, try your best to sort of just say like, hey, I don't want anything to do with what's going on. Like, she's my girlfriend and I don't like that you're being harassing. So can you please like leave? And if they don't leave, you're more than welcome to leave the area yourself. But if they're not allowing that and they're trying to get physical with you, then usually that it would be safe to, like, push them away or kind of just get, like, stun them, I guess is what you can say. Like, kind of just daze them so you can run away. Because you never really want to actually, like, really seriously hurt them to where you put them in the hospital. You just want to hurt them to the point where they're not paying attention to you at the moment so you can get away from them.
I definitely agree. That's probably definitely what I would do as well. So since I'm on a time crunch here, we have someone else waiting to come on at 8 o'clock here. By the way, I did want to mention, though, this is actually a true story that, you know, that I'm glad that, you know, it didn't, you know, you know, like proceed, you know, like onto the, didn't proceed to anything serious. But I was recently staying at a hotel, you know, with a business partner in Atlanta, and we were there for business. And it was late at night. So we had ordered Instacart or not Instacart, DoorDash. This partner, has specific, dairy needs. They're lactose intolerant. So we went down to the lobby to try to find, like a lactose intolerant, ice cream for them. Which I believe we did. And there was a guest in the hotel lobby. And mind you, I don't really know the full story, but I don't really know why the reception didn't step in, because this was obviously either like a homeless person that just kind of came in, or someone that was waiting for like a ride or a place to stay. It's basically the conversation turned into, you know, that, you know, basically, you know, we did a nice thing, we offered the ice cream that we had ordered that, you know, that was still fresh. So we offered that to him, to the guest, and they took it. And while I was walking away, they, proceeded to ask, you know, kind of get to, you know, figure out what our room situation was, like if we had like an extra bed that they could stay in. And the business partner was kind of wanting to be a little bit more friendly, and, you know, and I feel like it was getting to the point where, you know, they were going to, or that my friend was going to offer them, you know, just out of kind of their heart, a place to stay. Now, personally, and hopefully you agree with me, Will, I walked away, and I was very friendly about it, you know, kind of like in the bar scenario, you know, I told them, you know, you know, yeah, sorry, we're not interested. You know, we don't have extra space. What would you have done?
Usually if things do get, like, escalated, I usually try to handle it in the nicest way possible, but I usually don't want to get too into what's, like, wrong in the situation. Like, if they're, like, demanding that they need, like, a place to stay and all that, like, usually that's something that's kind of out of my control. Like, I'm not in control of, like, where somebody has to sleep or not. Like, it's really just what the person in question has to figure out for themselves.
Right. And, you know, and again, you know, I definitely think there's nothing wrong with providing a stranger, whether they be at your hotel, or on the street. Like, if you have extra food that you're, you know, that you would essentially just throw away, just go in and give it. There's nothing wrong with giving it to the stranger. But, you know, obviously, I didn't know the stranger. I, you know, and, you know, again, I mean, personally, I don't really know why the hotel receptionist didn't step in and alert us, you know, hey, you know, this person's just, you know, trying to get a free room. For a $10 Subway gift card, Will, what question do they have to answer?
So what our viewers have to answer is, we talked about it in a few earlier segments, but they have to guess what karate group or association that I compete for at Premier Martial Arts.
But yeah, so Will, thank you again for coming in for another fantastic episode of Amplifying Voices. You have been a thrill. So, but yeah, so we'll be here for another 2 minutes, 3 minutes. If you know what organization does Will compete for in karate. But for now, we're signing off for the night. We'll see you next Friday night at from 6 to maybe 7:30, let's say, for the